With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by Texas Electricity Ratings. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined this morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. And tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking. Also, be sure to get your questions in. We'll get to those here in just a little bit. But first, guys, let's talk about the team back on the field today. Obviously, good news as we inch closer and closer to the spring game.
Absolutely. We're going to have a media availability at 11, by the way, also from Steve Sarkisian, which should be interesting. See what he talks about today. Longhorns heading into the final stretch. These are the final five practices, one game for the Longhorns coming up. It looks good right now. We can report only one major injury that we're aware of. Actually, major is not the right word. Only one injury to a starter that we know of, and that's DJ Campbell. But we don't know the severity of it at this point. We'll see if he comes back in. My take on this is they're about where they should be headed into spring ball. There's been nothing that is just, from what I'm being told, there's nothing that is, oh man, gotcha. Like something crept up that they just didn't know about. They do know they need to address some things, including defensive tackle in the portal. And they're moving forward. Steve Sarkisian's done a nice job of anticipating needs and getting ahead of things. He hasn't always been able to do that because when he came in, there was so much to do, right, Jerry? And yep. Blake, there's so much to do. He couldn't just do it all at one time. But since that time, he's consistently kind of laid the groundwork to be ahead of the game. And I think right now he's feeling pretty good about where things are at this thus far in spring ball. We'll hear more, though, today at 11. I do want to say this. I am out of coffee, so this is my last one, my last little K-cup thing that I put in the coffee maker every morning. So if anybody has any suggestions, please feel free. Appreciate it.
Yeah, tomorrow. Yeah, so look, I mean, I think the one thing to talk about here as well is we're talking about a couple of needs in the portal to compete for a national championship and continue that. Long gone are the days of, oh man, we got needs to go 7-6 or 8-5. I mean, so what we're talking about here is, look, a top five ranked team with a lot of talent trying to address maybe one need, maybe two remaining to really go make another run at a national championship. And I think Texas is going to make a run regardless. I'm not saying get to the national title game. They're going to make a run regardless. But I'm on record, and I'll stay on record. I think this is going to be a better team next year than it was in 24 than it was in 23. Does that mean you're going to win as many regular season games? I can't say that. It's a tougher schedule. But I do think it's going to be a better team. I think it's going to be a faster football team and a more experienced football team in a lot of key areas.
Well, fellas, one thing we need to talk about is it's a big day in recruiting.
Oh, yeah.
Because there is a big visitor on campus today. Jerry, tell the folks the latest there.
Yeah. I just put up some morning recruiting nuggets on texasfootball.com. But Michael Fasusi, 5-star visitor day in Austin. Michael Fasusi, there's the huddle of the Louisville high offensive tackle out of DFW area. DFW doesn't produce any talent at all, guys. But there's Fasusi, tremendous feet, long arms. He can really bend. He's one of the top tackle prospects in the country. A guy in the recruiting industry is considered a five-star prospect, has been good a really long time. He works with Donald Hawkins, former Texas offensive lineman. But it's big to get Fasusi, and his dad will be making the visit with him on campus today. They're going to go through a full day of Texas football, spring football, from the Kyle Flood's position meeting room to meeting with Sark to the spring practice to being around the players during and after spring practice. It's going to be a complete day of University of Texas football and University of Texas Austin for Fasusi and his father. And it's big to get him on campus because he did not attend the January 20 junior day. He's made some trips to Missouri, a couple to A&M. But Texas gets the last official visit June 21st through 23rd. He also has officials scheduled to A&M June 7th through 9th and Oklahoma the 14th through 16th. This has been a Texas OU battle for months and months. A&M's trying to really make it that legitimate three-team battle. Missouri, Oregon, Georgia, USC are kind of round out the top seven, more on the peripheral right now. But we'll see. But it's a big day to get him on campus at Texas. Then another visitor, Bobby, mentioned earlier before we went on air, was Grant Smith, quarterback from Grand Oaks, 2026 quarterback at Grand Oaks, one of the top quarterback prospects in the state of Texas. He's going to be on campus for an unofficial visit today. There's Texas targets visiting other places as well, and that's going to continue on. John Mills, who was just at Texas for an unofficial visit, he's at Nebraska today. So the recruitment continues for all these guys, but Michael Fasusi on campus. Hey, it's kind of your offensive line week. Fasusi today, and then April 13th, Saturday, is John Turrentine III, who I think is just fabulous as an offensive line prospect, maybe as good as there is in the country in any class. Doesn't matter what class. You could be 13, 14, 8 years old or whatever. He's up there. And then Katoa, the big, big, massive human out of Euless Trinity 2026, really an offensive tackle that's on ascending with college coaches. Felix Ogie from Mansfield Lake Ridge, three DFW area guys in 2026, all elite offensive line prospects. How good is Turrentine and Katoa? They could commit to Texas today. Texas would take their commitments. That's how good those two guys are.
And then a new offer went out yesterday. Can you tell folks about it?
Yeah, Tyon Tank King, 2026 linebacker at Port Arthur Memorial. He may not be a name that's that familiar to Texas fans because they just offered him. Port Arthur Memorial is known by Texas fans. Jamal Charles, Robert Joseph, Jacobin Brown, Kenny Harrison was a coach there. I mean, go on and on and on. But Tyon King is a instinctive linebacker. He has started since his freshman year at Port Arthur Memorial. Go down the list of guys that have actually done that, and they've all had really good careers. So Tyon King is instinctive, physical, just a fast, quick mover at the linebacker position. About 6'1 and a half, 205 pounds. A&M offered him early. They've been considered the favorite in this recruitment for a while. The offer list has gone up and up for King, but Texas offered him yesterday. He will be on campus Saturday for an unofficial visit. Tyon King, another linebacker in 2026, Texas has offered, and one of the best in the state, and one of the probably better Mike linebacker prospects in the country in that class.
Texas has traditionally done better in Port Arthur than A&M, by the way. I would say that from a recruiting perspective. Jerry, I don't even know that Jamal Charles started as a freshman at Port Arthur Memorial. I just want to say that. I mean, I don't, you know.
Yeah, a high to start at a middle inside backer as
that's
a
freshman. Rare.
That's a very instinctive football player and a smart football player that you can put a lot on his plate and he can accept the challenge. That doesn't happen a lot, linebacker.
I got it. Well, before we move on, Bobby, can you tell folks out there about our sponsor today, Texas Electricity Ratings?
Yeah, absolutely. Our friends over there are very happy to sponsor On Texas Football, Coffee and Football every Tuesday morning. For those of you all still living in Texas and in major cities with deregulated electricity like Dallas and Houston, you understand that the deregulated electricity market can be confusing. Texas Electricity Ratings is a shopping website that lets you compare prices, read customer reviews, and find a good electricity plan that fits your needs. It also filters out a lot of the gimmicky plans on websites like Power to Choose that trick customers into expensive bills. So if you're in the market for a new electricity plan before we get going here for summer, shop TexasElectricityRatings.com /OTF for all your electricity needs. Book them.
Okay, guys. Well, we want to thank them for sponsoring each and every Tuesday right here on Coffee and Football. What you got, Jerry?
Yeah, some people have asked about visitors for basketball, portal visitors. The dead period runs until Friday, I believe. I think the next starting this weekend, next week, Texas will start to have some basketball visitors after the dead period. I think everybody in college basketball kind of needs to wait to see who Dan Hurley wants and then go from there at this point.
We need to say that. And tip of my cap to not just Dan Hurley and UConn, but also South Carolina women's basketball.
Yeah.
Right. I like seeing great teams. I'm not going to root for them necessarily, right? Like I would Texas, but you go and see great basketball and teams that play at a great level. I mean, what I wrote this down today before the show, UConn's tournament wins, Jerry.
Yeah.
I mean, just freaky how bad or how big their wins were. They won in the NCAA tournament by 39 points in the first round, 17 in the second round, 30 in the third round. In the Elite Eight, to get into the Final Four, they won by 25. And then the two Final Four matchups by 14 and 15 points, respectively. I mean, nobody got within 14 points of them the whole tournament. I mean, they are a dominant, dominant team and one of the most dominant we've seen in a long time in college basketball. At least their tournament run was as dominant as you'll ever see.
Well, there's a lot to unpack with Dan Hurley. I think he's the best at roster construction in the men's college game. And by that, I mean, and I know we're going to get back to football recruiting talk, but this stuff matters in sports. He's the best at roster construction. He's not – Stephon Castle's a one-and-done guy. But he Donovan Klingon, Hawkins, who was on the team last year as a first-round pick, those guys are all ranked like 40 to 70 in the country. And then he mixes and matches in the portal. Cam Spencer is a guy Texas would have loved to have out of the portal. He came out of the portal late from Rutgers, but he went to UConn, and I think a tremendous player. He's not on mock drafts. That guy's going to play in the NBA. But he's the best at roster construction, putting that thing together. And I think he's done the best job. The other thing with Dan Hurley is this. So people that have just kind of learned about – they expect UConn to be great, right? I mean, UConn's been the best basketball prospect in the program in America the last two decades plus. They have more national titles than anybody. But here's the thing with Dan Hurley. He missed a tournament his first 2 years at UConn. So UConn was patient with Dan Hurley, okay? He had a rebuild coming off all the stuff with Kevin Ollie. He had a rebuild, but UConn had some patience with him. They believed in their hire. And it took a little while to put all those pieces together for him and build that program out how he wanted to. And so we always say with players, it's not add water, instant player. Look, I mean, sometimes it takes time with these programs. Rick Barnes didn't make the tournament his first 2 years at Tennessee. Bruce Pearl had a big rebuild at Auburn. Dan Hurley had a big rebuild at UConn. But what now Dan Hurley has done is put together, I think, the most impressive two-year run. More impressive than Florida winning back-to-back because they had all their players back. More impressive than Duke's back-to-back because they had all their guys back. He literally lost multiple players to the NBA last year and came back and repeated with a better team. That's hard to do nowadays in college basketball in the portal era. So I don't have a cap, but I'd be tipping it to Dan Hurley. Great job.
Hey, Jerry, I do want to say this because this does somewhat involve Texas. Kentucky job. In basketball, Dan Hurley is going to be mentioned, but someone put out nationally yesterday that they very much expect Scott Drew, Baylor's head coach, to be priority one for the Wildcats. What do you think of that?
Dan Hurley's not going to Kentucky. So we'll see on Scott Drew. I mean, does he want to get into that? I don't want to call it cesspool, but if you don't win, it certainly is at Kentucky. I just don't know. I don't have that answer. If I'm Scott Drew, I don't do that. I have a national championship at Baylor. I got a new facility. I'm going to have a statue. I don't mess with that. I've got really good players coming in. He's in a program that's sustained, that he can sustain success at. I wouldn't chase that one if I was Scott Drew. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, his name is out there, though. I think Kentucky may try to make it hard for him.
Yeah, is the issue.
Yeah.
Hey, and we need to give a quick shout-out. The On Texas Football Bracket Challenge.
Oh boy, who won?
So whoever ESPN fan, blah 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 blah, is, if you, I will put my email in the chat if you're watching. I'll also post this on the board over on ontexasfootball.com. But we'll get you hooked up with your 40 acres apparel prize there. But yeah, great job.
$200 $200 gift certificate courtesy of 40 acres apparel. Thanks to everyone for participating in the bracket. That was really good. Good stuff, man.
Awesome, for sure. Okay, guys, well, we have a couple of super chats that we need to knock out real quick. I put one of them up during the intro to the show, but Henry James BC, thank you, Henry James, says, Jerry told me offline that Zach Edey is the best collegiate big man since Lou Alcindor.
Oh, come on, Alcindor?
Alcindor?
Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Henry James is having fun with me because I'm the opposite of the Zach Edey train. I think he's Boban without personality. He's closer to being Boban without personality as an NBA player than he is being a really good NBA player. And people forget, they just see the Boban in commercials. Boban averaged 9-7 one year in the NBA. I think Zach Edey, the wider lane, defensive 3 seconds, actually having to guard somebody outside the paint, it's going to be a struggle for him in the NBA. But Matt Painter did a great job with him. And if people that watched the game last night say, wow, Zach Edey had 37 points. Yeah, because Dan Hurley knew that if Purdue couldn't make a three and get off a three, they weren't winning the game. Let Zach Edey shoot it 25 times. Doesn't freaking matter. Purdue was 1-7 from three. You aren't beating UConn 1-7 from three. In fact, you're going to lose by double digits, which is what happened. And this is the worst NBA draft ever. So, well, you know, Zach may go in the first round, but the NBA is going to be tough for him, in my opinion.
And then we have another one from Peyton Ross, and he says, does the Corey Morris comments finally reveal why Sark has always preached good practice, intentional, and why he brings it up so much during the season?
Jerry, you talked to his mom. I'll let you answer that, but I have something to say about practice afterwards.
Yeah, so look, I think this weekend was big, like today with Fasusi is big because, you know, a lot of times in recruiting, we talk about game day atmosphere, right? And you want kids to experience everything you have as a major university. But these practices, these visits like last weekend, or a prospect like a DeCorian Moore for Susie today, or whoever, there are 5-star and 4-star guys on campus Saturday. When they can sit in a position meeting room and they can kind of see a whole practice unfold from getting there, being around the guys before the position meeting rooms, then sitting in on those meeting rooms, right? And listening to a Chris Jackson, if you're DeCorian Moore, break down the video with the guys before practice, then watch a spring practice, be right there on the field and listen to the position coach, Steve Sarkisian coach, see how that team responds, see the energy they bring to the field, then the after. Spending time with that staff after, spending time with those players after. That is why these visits like that this weekend and like today for Fasusi, or and like this weekend will be with the 26 offensive linemen, are so impactful. Because that, to me, we talk game day atmosphere, but these visits on Saturday, the most impactful visits a prospect can have and a family can have, because they see real interaction and you see where player development happens. Player development doesn't happen on Saturday. Player development happens after the season until the start of the season in reality. So you're around the strength coach and you're around those teams and you can see player development. You can see coach-player relationship, and that's where players start recruiting players.
I want to say this. I've seen David McWilliams. This is me now. I've seen David McWilliams host a practice or carry on a practice. John Makovic carry on practices. Mack Brown, Charlie Strong, Tom Herman, and now Steve Sarkisian. So 6 Texas coaches. I've actually been there for practices, watched them, et cetera. Of all that group, Sark's practices are most like Mack Brown's, okay, in that they're relatively quick. You get going. They're intentional. They're a lot about precision as opposed to just going full out. I'm not saying they don't go full out because they do. That is very, very clear in my opinion. But there are certain things other guys focused on. Tom Herman, every single drill felt like it was a physical drill to me for him. Like he focused on the physical aspect. Charlie Strong focused on the running aspect. I mean, he had guys running everywhere. Like everything was running to the next thing, whatever. I'm not saying Texas doesn't do that now, but just the type of practice they had. I will say this, Stark's practices compared to Max, but I do want to say this. I think all practices change over time, right? Back in the 70s and 80s, practices were slower. They weren't necessarily running from drill to drill to drill as quick as they could, even though they acted like it, right? Now there's a lot more, a little bit more science to it, I guess is the way to put it. But Sark's is as intentional, if not more so, than Max. And there's more attention to the passing game, clearly. Much more attention to the passing game as it is right now. So I like Sark's practice a lot. I told you all this last year. I remember walking out there during the beginning of fall practice, and one of the players said, "Be intentional," to another player. I was just like floored by that. That's not something you hear, right? That's not words that 18-year-olds typically use. But I think he's a mix of Mack Brown and probably, to be honest, Pete Carroll. I think Pete Carroll has the hype practices and has done that in his career and try to keep them light, but also hard going. So I like the way that Texas practices a lot, to be honest.
All right, guys, we have a special guest joining us this morning. Jerry, I'm going to let you do the introduction while I bring him in.
Yeah, this is we asked Tyler Chappell, head coach Jeff Reardon, to join us. Head coach of Ricky Stewart, 36-10 the last 3 years. He's been coaching football in December in Texas. That's generally a good thing. Coach, thanks for joining us today.
I appreciate y'all having me.
Coach, we like to bring on a head coach after a player commits to Texas, so the Texas fans can really learn about the player. And you have a number of really good players. And we're going to talk about Ricky Stewart, but we'll also hit on Demetrius Brisbane, committed to Baylor, who obviously those two guys have done so much, plus the other guys that you've had there for the Chapel Hill program. But starting with Ricky, kind of talk about Ricky, Ricky the guy, Ricky the player for Texas fans who are maybe just now getting to really know him and learn about him.
You know, Rick's a unique guy. He don't talk a whole lot. Doesn't say a whole lot. He lets his play do all the talking. You're not going to get a whole lot of celebration out of him. He's going to score a touchdown. He's going to hand the ball to the ref and, you know, jog to the sideline. He did that 48 times for us last year, so got to see it a bunch. He's not going to waste any energy talking trash. He's not going to waste any energy celebrating. He's putting all his energy into getting yards and getting touchdowns and helping our program win football games. You know, but Ricky's he's a fun guy once you get to know him. He's very intelligent. Takes AP and honors classes here and does real well in school. So he's very intelligent, but he doesn't really like to talk. So when you get him to talk, you know he's building that relationship with you and he trusts you a little bit. So he's just a fun guy to be around, you know, and he's funny. You know, even though he doesn't say a whole lot, he's got a sense of humor and he's a funny guy. And, you know, he just comes to work. And to me, you know, the reason we win a lot of football games around here is because we have a guy like Ricky Stewart. And that's the reason University of Texas recruited him. And, you know, the reason we're talking right now is because the performances that Ricky has done on Friday nights for us for the last 3 years.
Coach, go ahead, Bobby. Yeah, I was going to ask you, look, there are a lot of good running backs in the state of Texas. I mean, that you've coached more than one, right? Yeah. In your time. What is it about Ricky that you think makes him in that category of being really elite? Because there are a lot of good. I mean, I'm just trying to put it out there because look, there are five other running backs that have Division I offers or 10 or whatever the number is. What is it that Ricky Stewart brings to the table, in your opinion, that may be slightly different than some other folks?
You know, to me, Rick's a complete back. You know, he's got some of the best hands on the team, played a lot of receiver in junior high and running back. You know, we can move him around. We can throw him the ball out of the backfield. Got great, great hands. Great ability to run routes, pass protection. He understands that, and he's physical. You know, I've coached a lot of great running backs. You know, Craig Squirrel Williams that was at Baylor, Austin Walter that was at Rice that went to the league, Kalen Griffin. Just you know, he's kind of all of those packed in one. He's got the elite speed. He's got the elite size and strength, physical, you know, just kind of a brutal running back. He'll run through you or run around you, you know, and he can catch out of the backfield. So he's an everyday, he's an every down back, and he can do it all. And I think that kind of separates him. You know, I think Coach Choice was very impressed with his film as a sophomore and freshman, and gave him a few little things to work on coming into his junior year. And Rick set a goal of rushing for 3,000. You know, I thought it was a lofty goal. I knew we had to play a bunch of games, but he was really close. He was probably, you know, a little over 100 yards off. He rushed for over 2,800 yards. So he sets goals, like real goals that he goes and tries to get. He probably gets those 3,000 yards if we don't pull him out of a lot of games and rest him when we're up. So, you know, I think Rick, what separates him to me is he's an every down back. He can do it all. There's no weaknesses in his game. And you know, that's the reason we played a lot of football around here in Chapel Hill.
We have a great question from one of our viewers. What are a couple of things that you like about Sark and his staff after meeting with them throughout the recruiting process? Obviously, Sark, Blake Gideon, Tashard Choice all came by Chapel Hill in January.
You know, I think Sark's just is the wisdom and knowledge that he's gained through his experiences and who he's worked for kind of separates him. You know, Gideon Blake's done a great job always, you know, just communication and recruiting. But to me, like one of the best recruiters, and I'll say it, is Tashard Choice. Every time he comes in my office, the energy level changes in this office. He's a great human, you know, and I just love when he comes and sits in my office and we don't even talk ball. We just talk life. You know, he's one of my favorite guys when he comes by, just because the dynamics and energy in the room immediately changes. But you can see, like, he is, I mean, as soon as he comes into my office and recruits and Ricky walks in that door, he's already coaching him. You know, even if, you know, if this Ricky's not even, you know, offered at this point, you know, last year, he's coaching him on what he needs to work on, you know, this about his hips, this about his cuts, this. I just thought it was very impressive what Tashard Choice does. And I can see why, you know, Texas is going to be way up there in the recruiting with that guy.
Good stuff. Hey, Coach, you've got multiple players at Chapel Hill. You're not just a one-trick punt or one-player team. Tell us a little bit more about some of your other guys and any guys you got in the pipeline that are younger.
You know, like I said, you play a lot of football and win a lot of trophies because you got players. Not necessarily we got great coaching. You know, Demetrius Brisbane is our quarterback. He's committed to Baylor as a defensive back. You know, he can play running back. He can play receiver. He can play quarterback. He can play DB. He's just one of those guys that wherever he goes, he's going to be successful because he can do so much. You know, we call him Superman because he can do it all. You know, we got an outside linebacker that had 39 tackles for a loss, 15 sacks. He's got a few offers right now. Trevor Brooks, who's you put the film on, he's the Honey Badger. You know, that's what Texas Tech's defensive coordinator DeRuiter said. I coach the Honey Badger, and that's who he is. He's just very active, knows how to play the game. Just one of those rare kids that is a can't miss on tackling and very active. We got a center that's got a few offers, Keldrick Davis. He's 6'2", 305, can move, can get out, can snap. I think he's one this spring that his coach is coming in here and talking to Ricky and D. He's going to kind of blow up because he just keeps getting bigger, and he's athletic and he's dominant inside. You know, those four guys are our main guys right now that we have in that senior class. But we do got guys coming. We got, you know, we rattled off a bunch of district championships at the JV and middle school level and freshman level. So it'll definitely be a pipeline from Chapel Hill for a few years.
Hey, Coach, one of the things I wanted to hit on with you was kind of Ricky's toughness, because look, he's going to leave with around, you know, 1,000 carries if you have another good year. And some fans are worried, oh, yes, he's carried the ball too much. Yeah, but in college, you don't carry it that much. The game's changed, right? You have multiple backs. But talk about his toughness, because so when I went around East Texas, I went and visited with you, but then I went to some other schools, and they said two things about Ricky Stewart. One, he was really tough. And two, he was faster in person than he appeared on film. Can you speak to both of those things? Because I thought that second comment was so interesting from multiple coaches that went up against him.
You know, I think the probably the faster, you know, in person than he looks on film is very true. Ricky runs fast enough. You know, he don't get tackled. He doesn't get caught from behind. And like I said, like he's gonna conserve energy if he can, because he knows he's going to play the whole game and we're going to need him. You know, and truthfully, he gets all those yards with a lot less carries than most people, because he's averaging 12, 15 yards a carry. You know, I know we were 3rd and 14 in a playoff game, and one of my coaches asked what we were going to do. I'm like, well, Ricky's averaging 15. We're just going to hand off inside zone. And we did, and he went and got the first down. You know, he's just that kind of guy. So his speed is definitely elite. I mean, we came on the track. Or we came out and tested 40s yesterday, and every one of his 40s was 4.6 and below that he came and tested. You know, he's a 4.4 guy when he's you know, primed up and ready to go. End of the summer workouts, he'll be a 4.4 guy. He's just one of those guys that's fast as he needs to be. And then toughness is, I mean, the film don't lie. It's whether it's pass pro, whether it's running through tackles, whether it's playing with Knicks and Bangs, and, you know, that goes through a 16-game season. We played, you know, Ricky's played 3 varsity football seasons, and right now he's played 46 high school football games in 3 years. So, and he's remained healthy and finished every year. And that just goes to show how tough he is. You know, he's a good one, that's for sure.
Coach, Jerry mentioned the number of running backs, and that Texas has a good running back room. Tashard Choice, you mentioned him, has accumulated some guys that can tote the football. Did Ricky talk anything about that? Was that a conversation? Oh, well, I may have to wait behind this guy or that guy, or is that just part of the process and he wants to be coached by Tashard Choice?
You know, I don't think that me and Ricky have specifically talked about that. You know, I think he walks into any running back room and feels like he's going to be the best running back in that room. You know, and that's the kind of cat you want coming into your running back room. And knowing that he's going to have to get there and work and earn everything that he gets. He knows that. He's a smart kid. But I think, you know, Texas was his dream school. He was kind of waiting on Texas to come around. That's the school he wanted. You know, he had Oregon, Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama. He had all the offers, but Texas was his dream school. That's kind of what he's been waiting on. So when Coach Choice came this early, I guess, in January and seen his updated junior film, was like, man, Rick, you did everything that I asked of you. You know, I'm gonna go back and talk to Coach Sark, and next thing I know, I'm getting calls from everybody on campus. It was a buzz around here after Coach Choice left my office, and then they offered him, and I knew he was going to commit to Texas that day. You know, it was a process, and he ended up doing it this Saturday, but I knew that he was going to commit to Texas that day because that was his dream school. That's where he wanted to go. So I think Coach Choice was a big part of that, but I think it's also just the, you know, the Texas tradition and being a Longhorn and being from the state of Texas had a lot to do with that too.
How cool. Last thing I have for you, Coach, how cool is that for you and your staff to see these kids live out their dream, right? I mean, look, y'all want to win a state championship. Y'all want to do all the great things. Y'all have been 5-6 games deep, right? Y'all been playing in December for 3 years, but when a kid gets to kind of live out that dream, how cool is that for y'all? Because y'all put so much into these kids and y'all are part of their development to help them get there.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, one of the big reasons that we do it. That's one of the big motivation factors behind the work and time we put into it, is to see, you know, kids' dreams realized. You know, and it's awesome when it happens and works out like it does with a guy like Rick or a guy like D or any other guy in our program that gets to go play free, go to school for free and play the sport that they love. So it's big for our school, for our campus. You know, and just for the area where we're located here in Tyler and East Texas, to represent Beast Texas the right way and get those kids out to the colleges so they can help our Texas colleges be successful. You know, and we had quite a few of our outgoing seniors this year. You know, we got a few going to SFA, going to Texas Tech, you know, going to UNLV, and the big ones, you know, the D's and Rickies are easy for us. It's the offensive lineman that's undersized that goes to Southern Arkansas, or the receiver that wasn't quite developed yet that goes to SFA. It's like those guys that you know, we really put the work in to get that free education and the ability to go to the next level and play ball.
Well, Coach, I have a feeling you're going to have a lot of Texas fans watching games this year. I'll say that. You're going to have a lot more Texas fans in the stands this season, I have a feeling.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I love that. I love the image in the background, the framed photo of it. Looks like the UIL State Championship bracket that back there. That's kind of cool, Coach. That's cool.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. That was a gift from my brother-in-law when we won state when I was at Sulphur Springs.
So for those that don't know, Coach had a pretty good quarterback, Tariq Rawlison, years ago at Sulphur Springs, state with Bobby. I'm sure you remember Tariq Rawlison. Yeah. I mean, he was one of the best Friday night guys I've seen in Texas in a long time.
Coach, thank you so much, bud. We appreciate you joining us. As always, you guys, the Texas High School Coaching Fraternity's one of a kind, guys. Thank you so much, Coach Reardon.
Appreciate it. Thank you all for having me.
Coach. Right, welcome, Coach.
Thanks, Coach. All right, guys.
I want to say one thing after he left. So when I went through there, they were doing off-season workout. And why I know they're doing such a great job beyond the wins at Chapel Hill is there was an organization and a focus in an off-season workout not that long after they'd finished their run to the state championship game. There was a focus in just – they were so organized in what they did. It's easy to see why they were going to have and will have sustained success wherever he's coaching, because he has a full understanding of the offseason part of this. And those kids were really engaged that day.
Well, before we move on to our next questions here, Jerry, if you are ready, I'm going to let you tell folks out there about Gooder and how they can be engaged.
Look, I mean, I'll be honest. My eyes are okay this morning. I had my Gooders on looking up at the sky yesterday. And it was a little overcast, but I had my Gooders on for that eclipse yesterday, which in Houston we got a little bit of. But I'm going to put these bad boys back on because I need to. They're the best. These stylish sunnies start at only $25 a pair, guys. $25. No slip, no bounce, all polarized, all fun. Over 50,000 five-star reviews for Gooder. And those are going to be added by all of us. I love my Gooders. 1-year warranty, 30-day free returns, which you won't need. Trust me, I've done them. This is pop art for your face, but make it a fashion. Made for medium-sized noggins. Apologies to Leonard Davis and Cameron Williams out there. But check out the cool new Pop G styles. Vanguard Visionary, New Wave Renegade, Born to be Envied, Pop Art Prodigy, the Mod 1 out, and approaching Colt status. 100% polarized, and again, only $25. They're lightweight, they're stylish, and they don't slip off your face. Like I said, I was at a beach volleyball tournament recently, and I couldn't believe how many pairs of Gooders I saw just walking around. And I got a comment, like I said, Saturday. A couple of comments Saturday during a Texas recruiting event. People knew Gooder. They knew what I was wearing, and they should. So that's always a great thing. If you want to support the show and try a pair, Gooder is giving On Texas Football listeners free shipping. You can go to gooder.com/OnTexas, all caps. Use that code On Texas, all caps, for free shipping. Again, Gooder offers a 30-day money-back guarantee, which you will absolutely not need, and 100% satisfaction, which you will absolutely have. Again, that's gooder.com/OnTexas, all caps, for free shipping.
All right. Well, yesterday, I want to get y'all's opinion on this. Yesterday, Rod and CJ on the Winning Drive, they were talking about ranking games in order of importance. And it was Georgia, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, and Michigan. And especially on Twitter, a lot of fans weighing in. So I want to know we don't have to rank them, but what game is the most important for the Longhorns in 2024?
Michigan's most important for me, because you win that one, that sets the table for the rest of the year, and you're going to be ranked really, really high. So it just like Alabama was the most important game last year, I think Michigan's the most important game this year. Because look, Michigan's defending national champion. They lost a lot. Texas is a favorite right now in that game. And if you go up to Ann Arbor and you win on the road, that means Sark's won at Alabama and Michigan 2 years in a row. Doesn't get much better than that.
Georgia, okay. OU, okay. We play. If you don't say A&M, Yes. I know there may be different levels of game. I mean, we don't know if A&M is going to be good. We don't know if Texas is going to be good that late in the season. Injuries late in the year could matter and all that stuff and affect both teams. But I'm telling you now, first time in 13 years, Texas is going to College Station, reigniting a rivalry that I grew up with. That matters to me. Look, I'm not saying Georgia's not a better team. A&M fans would tell you Georgia's a better team than A&M. All these teams would. But my point being is, if which one am I most interested in? I'm going to Michigan. I'm going to OU. I'm going to the Georgia game. But the one that I can't wait to go to, that I have to go to no matter what, is the A&M game. And that's not because I like College Station, by the way. No offense to people who live there. But it's because I really believe that is one of the fundamental issues of college football, is that we've lost some things and we need to get them back. Texas playing Texas A&M, Texas playing Arkansas on an annual basis matters to me. Not as much as A&M, but anyways, I would say A&M. So that's Georgia, OU, and Michigan may be different level games, but the one that goes first on my list would be A&M.
I'm with you on that. I was just curious what y'all's answer would be, and a lot of people obviously weighing in with different opinions. But
and that's great. There's a lot of different answers to it. I mean, that's why it's a great question. I mean, it depends on if you look at the season or if you look at a rivalry, right? There's different ways to look at it. Some people would have OU at the top of the list because Texas lost last year, and you don't want to lose to Oklahoma 2 years in a row, especially after that month-long social media celebration, which ended in defeat at Kansas. Ha ha. So, it just depends. And some people would say Georgia, because Georgia's a top program in college football. And if you beat Georgia year one in the SEC, I agree with somebody. What does that do for you? Year one in the SEC. If you beat Alabama last year and you beat Georgia this year, what does that do for you? Bigger picture, probably Georgia.
I don't have a problem if people pick Georgia or Michigan. My personal, I can't get past the A&M thing and versus Texas, right, and reigniting that rivalry and what it meant growing up when, you know, you rooted for Texas or Texas A&M, et cetera. And we're going to have that back now. And so I don't have a problem some people haven't even seen Texas. There's a 10-year-old in Texas that's never seen Texas play Texas A&M. So I get that. I'm not trying to be rude about it. For me, that's the one this year. Now, in successive years, we could go differently. But for this year, that's the rivalry I'm waiting to go back.
You know what's also awesome about this topic is it's different from our age groups, right? I agree with Bobby on A&M, right? For a DeCorian Moore or a John Turntine in 26, they don't care. They say, oh, you beat Michigan, you beat Georgia, dadgum, you beat Alabama last year, right? So it's also different from different age. Like, I agree with Bobby. Like, I think the best thing, I think what the A&M in Texas not playing for more than a decade has done is, yes, the move to the SEC really opened up the state of Texas in recruiting. But more so than that, it was A&M and Texas not playing. I really think that hurt in-state recruiting for both teams, because that is a rivalry game that's talked about that will now, starting again this year, will be talked about every day. But the kids still won't know it from an experience of it. This year, there'll be a lot of young prospects in the state of Texas that will be on campus in College Station when A&M and Texas play, and they're going to say, whoa, that's a really cool rivalry that I had no idea about. So the kids, younger prospects in the state, are going to start to learn this year what we at our age have always known, but they have never experienced. So I think for kids, it's different than it is for us as adults. And that's what makes it such a great topic of conversation.
For sure. All right, well, we're going to move on to a different topic here, and let's take some team-related questions. We'll start with this one from Brendan. He says, it sounds like Blue is making a strong push to start. How do we feel the running back play will be broken up between this insane backfield?
If I had to guess right now, it'd be about 40-40-20. And so Blue is going to be considered a co-starter, in my opinion. So, you know, we talked. Somebody made the mention there is no RB1, and I use the term RB1 for Cedric Baxter. So for inside zone run, he is RB1. I think he'll be in, and for that reason, I think he'll be on the field from the very first snap against Colorado State and those guys. So at the same time, I think Jaden Blue is going to be used liberally in the pass game and in the run game. And I think Trey Weiser is going to get a lot of snaps too. Because if you go back and look at it, they were putting the ball in the hands of Keelan Robinson, what, 4 to 6 times a game? Is that about right for last year, Jerry? And if they do that again this year, I think Weiser's going to get maybe 5 to 7 of that. So I could see it going something like 10 to 13 for Blue and Baxter, 5 to 7 for Weiser. So that's about 40-40-20. That's kind of where I'm thinking right now. And there are going to be games that are higher than that. There may be games that are lower than that for certain players. For instance, if Texas is behind, my guess is you'll see more from Jaden Blue. If Texas is in front, you're going to see him run inside zone a lot more to Cedric Baxter. It all depends on that. But I do believe that it's two RB1s right now, A and B, because they are so different. They are so different.
Yeah, so I'm a little different. I think Baxter is RB1, and that's okay. I mean, you're going to play a lot of guys. I think, look, Cedric Baxter's going to be a much improved player in year two than year one. Of course, all these guys have to stay healthy, right? Anybody can have nicks that really slow you down. But I think he's going to make a big jump from year one to year two. Just remember, that guy was a year one college football player last year.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And our next question, guys, is going to be from Travis. And he says, is Ryan Wingo going to start as a freshman like Xavier Worthy did?
No, I don't think so. And it's because of the room around him. And I shouldn't say no, I don't think so. Like, it's definitive. Because I don't know that. I'll be honest. I don't know for sure whether he will or won't start. I just think that Texas is situated differently than they were 3 years ago when Xavier Worthy showed up on campus. I mean, Isaiah Bond wasn't on campus. Jonte Cook wasn't on campus. Matthew Golden wasn't on campus. DeAndre Moore wasn't even on campus. I mean, DeAndre Moore and Jordan Whittington are very similar in some respects, right? Well, DeAndre Moore was actually a better receiver earlier, or is a better receiver earlier than Jordan Whittington was. Just put that, and DeAndre Moore right now is fighting for time. So the receiver room as a whole is just so different. And it's not because I don't think Ryan Wingo isn't as talented or perhaps more talented in some ways than Xavier Worthy, because I think he has the more prototypical NFL body. It's just I think Texas is a different program today than they were 3 years ago.
Yeah, and so I'll add to that. I agree, and here's the thing to look at. Early in the season especially, right, you go on the road at Michigan, experience really matters. Those are games where experience matters. But if by chance Ryan Wingo plays a lot more than anticipated, then I anticipate early in the season, I think he's going to – and I've been on record. I don't want people to take this the wrong way. I agree with Bobby. I think he's the most talented receiver Texas has recruited since Roy Williams. That covers a long time. But early in the season, you can tend to go with experience in those games. Those big games like that. But if he plays more than expected early on, like at a Michigan, then Texas has a special player. That means a guy's pushed through as a young player in a tough scheme for a receiver pre-snap to pick up. So if he is that far ahead of schedule early next season, then Texas may have a special player on their hands.
And we got some more running back questions, guys, from the one earlier. We're going to start with the super chat from Jay Lee. Thank you, Jay, for the super. He says, was Sark wrong starting Baxter over Brooks last year? And then do you think he will make the same mistake this year with Blue? By all accounts, Blue is the guy.
No, and guys, Blue is a good runner, but do not forget Sark's reliance on inside zone. I mean, he wants to be able to push up the middle to keep people and safeties and linebackers tucked in and to create the mismatches on the outside. So you can't just be a stretch team. And Sark's, if you are, they'll flatten the wide receiver or they'll flatten the safeties a little. So you have to take that into account. You just have to. And Baxter is better than Brooks in that regard. There's no questioning that. And I'm not putting one over the other.
Guys have different strengths. They're not all the same. It is what
exactly. It's like I wouldn't put, if I'm looking at third and 10, if I'm putting a back into the route, I'm putting Jaden Blue into the route instead of Cedric Baxter. So I'm not one or the other. It's not the issue. It's they have different strengths. And the great thing about Texas right now, and this is the same with Jonathan Brooks, is their strengths. These guys' strengths are all NFL caliber. Okay. It's one thing if Jaden Blue's NFL didn't have an NFL strength as an outside runner or as a receiver out of the backfield. And Cedric Baxter was manageable, right? These running backs all have NFL caliber strengths. I'm not saying they're going to be LaDainian Tomlinson or Earl Campbell or Eric Dickerson or Adrian Peterson. That's not what I'm talking about. They're not, I don't know that any of these guys are superhuman, right?
But correct.
Each one of them have NFL strengths. And so it's not Blue is the guy. It's not Jonathan Brooks was the guy. He played like it at times last year, but Jonathan wasn't necessarily as good out of the backfield as some others. Don't forget that. And so my take on it is more of Sark's got – he and Tashard Choice have just done a remarkable job filling the room with guys that could compete and add to the mix in different ways. And I don't think Sark was wrong with Baxter over Brooks. It ended up – I mean, they went to the college football playoff. How are you going to tell somebody they were wrong? I mean, maybe he kept Brooks healthy longer that way.
And then Ivory Martin said, so where does that put Savion Redd, the Wildcat package again?
I don't know that they're going to use the Wildcat package much this year. The package itself actually kind of flailed later in the year, if y'all remember. Redd wasn't necessarily reading the carry. So I don't know what's going to happen. And I don't know that Savion has a real, of all the running backs, I don't know that he has a path to the field right now compared to anybody else. And I'm not trying to, I haven't been privy to some of the things that are being said or thought behind the scenes. So I'm not putting this out there, but I think that it's going to be hardest of all the running backs is for him to see a path to the field with the emergence of Trey Wisner, with the competitiveness right now of Jaden Blue and him taking that extra step, Cedric Baxter being healthy, and then you have the young guys and Christian Clark, who I've heard really has made turn some heads, and then Jarrett Gibbs. Savion is the one guy, like, how do I get on the field? And I don't know the answer other than special teams.
And we got a couple of defensive questions. Let's start with this one from Kelly, who says, as a whole, is the 2024 linebacker position better than 2023 for SEC offenses?
No. You had a three-year starter in Jalen Ford, right, Jerry?
You
agree with that? I mean, I think Benda – well, Hill is a difference maker no matter what level. I would say no, and strictly because of Jalen Ford and know-how. Now, I don't know that Jalen Ford had a great senior year, by the way. He had a good senior year, but not a great one, and I think that's one of the reasons why some people don't even have him getting drafted in this draft. But I don't think it's a better linebacker group, per se.
And then our next question, guys, comes from Jake, and he says, I'm not hearing much on Jare Bledsoe, except for how he looked the first few days of spring ball. How is he progressing?
Jake Faust, have you heard anything more, Jerry, than what I have?
No, it's always a search for consistency is what it is with some guys. And that's got to be the big step. If Dre's going to take a big step, it's going to have to be consistency. I mean, we talk about, you know, consistency is, you know, that coaches are going to trust in you to put you on the field for a lot of snaps. I mean, that's what consistency is all about. We say consistency. So that's the biggest thing for some of these guys. The biggest hurdle they have to get to in their development is that consistency, because these guys are going to put guys they trust on the field. These coaches are going to put guys they trust on the field.
And Jake, I do want to reiterate, he looked really good when I saw him twice this spring. Jere looked really, really good, in my opinion. To Jerry's point about consistency, I'm concerned about these guys anchoring at 305 in the SEC. That's a hard thing. Because Texas is not the only one that plays with big humans in the SEC. That's the difference, right, Jerry?
Yeah.
Is look, it's one thing. Texas has 330-pound offensive guards. Well, every team they play this year, I think, is going to have 330-pound offensive guards.
Yes.
In the SEC. That's just the way of the world. They didn't have that in the Big 12. And so Bledsoe hasn't seen it. Alfred Collins hasn't seen it. Vernon Broughton hasn't seen it. Now, they've seen him in and out, but not consistently. And so when Jerry mentions that is a big thing. I did hear the other day they're still going after possibly two defensive tackles in the portal. So keep that in mind. Jake, I owe you either an email or a call. I'll give you a call too, by the way.
All right, and then our next question, guys, we're going to go over to the offensive line now. Antoine says, how do we feel about the potential of Jaden Chapman and Connor Strove?
I like everything I hear about the young offensive lineman and offensive line as a whole. I think the place Texas is getting to in the offensive line is you can be a sixth guy, seventh guy, or eighth guy and still have a career in football one day. I think that's the place Texas is getting to in the offensive line, which that means it requires patience and process oriented and trust in your development. And look, one thing, even though he was a starter, one calling card Kyle Flood has is Christian Jones' development. I mean, that guy really developed under Kyle Flood and Steve Sarkisian in Texas. So, I mean, look, we've talked about it before. It's there's certain positions. There's the depth has been built in this program where you have to be process-oriented. You have to have full trust in development of Torrey Becton and this coaching staff. And if you do, good things are going to happen. Jaden Chapman's a really good prospect. Connor Stroh is one of the strongest guys on the team. He can move people in the run game. Those guys are still young, but we hear good things about them. Cole Hudson, very good player. Guy could have a career in football one day. He's had some injuries, right? But there's so much competition on the Texas offensive line right now. It's a fight to get on the field, and that's a really good thing for Steve Sarkisian and Kyle Flood. But here the young linemen are coming along very well, Texas.
All right, then one other team-related question, guys, and it's going to be from Isaac Darden. And Isaac asks, is Jontae Cook struggling to catch the ball consistently?
It's a question mark. I was told that there were some drops. I was not given names, and I'm not going to name names, but there were some drops on either Saturday or Thursday, I can't remember which, that I was told that they need to be more consistent catching the football, period. If they're going to be – they have the talent to be elite as a group. That is what I'm being told, that the coaches feel, that the wide receiver room has the talent to be elite. They need to catch the football every single time. And so that's all I was told, not individual players, but we'll see.
Well, before we move on and talk about recruiting a little bit, Bobby, can you tell folks out there one more time about Texas Electricity Ratings?
Yeah, absolutely. As we've mentioned before, every Tuesday's Coffee and Football brought to you by our friends at TexasElectricityRatings.com. For anyone shopping for an electricity plan in the deregulated areas of Texas, TexasElectricityRatings.com is the best place to find a great electricity plan for your household. For starters, it filters out the dangerous and gimmicky plans from providers that are all hat and no cattle when it comes to your monthly bill. You can shop by rate, but also by an average bill feature that actually takes into account seasonal usage, to give you a real number and not some placeholder. So if you're looking for a new electricity plan, check out TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF for the best options available. That's TexasElectricityRatings.com/OTF. Get ready for summer. It'll be here quicker than you know it.
And we've had a lot of people join, guys, since we started the show. Jerry, I'm going to let you break down the recruiting news today, the big recruiting news today. And it just got tweeted out as well. But tell everybody.
Yeah, so we had a question earlier. I'm going to get to Fasusi in a second. We had a question earlier about Jonah Williams and linebacker. Jonah Williams wants to be a safety. He's being recruited as a safety. Could Jonah play linebacker one day? Sure, he's got the frame to do that. But he wants to be recruited as a safety. Everybody that's going to have a chance at him is recruiting him as a safety. And I don't want to sit here and say there's no way he can play safety. Look, Jelani McDonald's playing safety and playing pretty well from everything we hear. So Jonah Williams can be that 6'3", 210, 215-pound safety. He's about 6'3", 205 right now. And I know when he's a younger prospect, people salivated the frame of making him a linebacker. And some schools are recruiting him at linebacker. That's not what Joe – if you're recruiting Jonah Williams at linebacker, you aren't getting him. Texas transitioned that after seeing more junior tape on him and after Jeff Choate left and Blake Gideon, the area recruiter, took over that recruitment. So that's kind of what the recruitment on Jonah Williams. He will be a safety. He'll be recruited as a safety and play safety, at least initially in his college football career. Michael Fasusi, five-star offensive tackle from Louisville, high up in the DFW area, north of Dallas, up that Dallas North Tollway. He is on campus with his father today, five-star offensive tackle. Hasn't been on campus for a while since he didn't come for the January 20th junior day. That means it was during the season when he was last on campus. Texas and Oklahoma have been battling at the top for this one for a while. A&M's pushed their way, moved their way into contention. He has official visits scheduled to all three. It's huge to get him on campus today because what we talked about earlier, you go through the team meeting, position meeting, you go watch the practice really up close now. I mean, he may be a step away, a step behind the offense on the field, so he can really hear everything and feel everything at that practice today. But it's a big day when you sit down. Then you sit down with Sarkisian and Kyle Flood after the practice. You meet with some of the players. You start to get questions answered. These are big days in recruiting because there's so much. They're so different than a game day atmosphere Saturday visit to Texas, which is great as well. But the player development piece, that part of the recruiting process, which is so key, that really, truly is visualized on days like today.
And then we have a super chat from Aloha Traveler. I'm about to probably butcher this. But, hey, fellas, checking in from Kauai. Question about elite talent in the program right now. Who are the first-round talents on this team, in your opinion?
Ooh, it's a great
Kauai question. Okay. I love Blake. You are awesome with pronunciations. All right. Hey, let's talk about that, Jerry, because I think it's a good discussion. At wide receiver, possibly Isaiah Bond, possibly Ryan Wingo are the two guys that I say are first rounders, in my opinion.
Talent-wise, yeah.
Yeah, talent-wise. Now, Jonte Cook is on the cusp of that, maybe. But we'll see on that. Running back, look, I mean, with the fact that nobody gets taken in the first round at running back these days, I mean, Jonathan Brooks may be RB1 and may not go till third round. So let's put that on ice. Arch Manning and Quinn Ewers both, in my opinion, are first round talents without question. Tight end, Amari Nyblack. Let's see how he plays this year. Could he go as high as the first round if he has a great year and is committed to football? Yes. Is he going to go that high? Most likely not. He's not. He doesn't have that built-out frame yet to go that high, Jerry. Offensive line, Kelvin Banks, Cam Williams. Very possible at this point. I don't know that I would put another offensive lineman in that category with those two. And Cam Williams would have to have another year, in my opinion. Jerry, you take the defense.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I think Anthony Hill's got a possibility there, right, at linebacker. And I'm jumping way ahead, but it's like kind of like Ryan Wingo. Colin Simmons has that ability. He's got to go get it, right, at the edge position. He's got that ability. you look around in the secondary, Derek Williams is the guy for me that could be a first-round pick. because I think he's got cornerback feet playing safety with a big frame. And I think he's got ball skills. I think all those things will show the next 2 years at Texas, because obviously this is his first spring practice. He didn't have it last year. Westgate High and New Iberia did not have early high school graduation, which has now changed because Derek Williams couldn't come to Texas, and all the coaches in that area got fired up about it. But I think Derek Williams is one of those guys as well. I think as far as first rounders, I think that covers the guys. And look, Texas is going to have, what, six guys go in the first two or three rounds on April 25th, 6th, 7th. So it's more than first-round picks. It depends on depth of draft as well. For a guy like Manny Muhammad, who's a great technician and has all the same football characteristics Earl Thomas had, meaning that guy will study the game more than you, more than his opponent. He'll study the game more than the guy he's competing with. He is that serious about football. It's all going to come down to all his times, right? What he runs at the combine to a certain extent. So there's a lot of guys that the next 2 or 3 years could develop into those first, second round guys. But I think we hit on the obvious ones.
And we got time for a few more questions here. This one from Gerald Nash. He says, gentlemen, where do you project this 2025 class to finish?
So much. I think it'll be another run of the top five class. Could that be number three class? Could that be two? Could that be five? Could that be six? That remains to be seen. The way I look at the recruiting classes right now is it's how many guys you take. Now, some people only factor in 18 or 19, those commitments. Some people factor in all of them. It just depends on who you look at in the recruiting industry. But it's somewhat of a numbers game. I mean, what did Georgia sign, 28, 29 last year for that number one class? A lot of schools are ahead of Texas, who signed 23, obviously ended up with 22 in the class after De'Andre Robinson left. 22 in the class, you're sitting five below most of those classes ranked higher than you, four or five below. Now, Texas is in on enough of the five stars, whether that's the Corian Moore, Fasusi, you go down the list, and enough of the high-ranking four-star guys. And there's some – look, I believe Brandon Brown's vastly underrated recruit. I think that'll readjust. I think Zion Williams is underrated nationally. Some of these linemen, they adjust. Those rankings adjust later. The skill guys show up quicker, right? Quarterbacks and skill guys are known so much earlier. It's more of a developmental, physical process, even at the high school level for the OLs, DLs. And some guys just aren't seen as much in person. Josiah Sharma's a guy that hasn't been seen much. Josiah Sharma's a top 100 kid in the country to me. He's being recruited like it. So I think Texas is in on the right guys to finish with a fourth straight top five class. At some point, it's a numbers game, but as important as the class ranking is, are you filling your needs? And that's where I think Sark and those guys have done a good job. Jerry, but I think Texas is going to be right there once again.
Jerry, how do you here's my point. Look, I've been involved in recruiting rankings for 30 years, right? And following them even when I was a kid, so longer than that. And so my question for you is this: how do we measure the portal as it relates to high school recruiting? Because the portal clearly has, in most instances, a more immediate impact.
Yeah.
And so we're going to see a lot. I mean, we'll see Trey Moore immediately. We'll see Isaiah Bond, Matthew Golden, most likely Silas Bolden as well. I mean, we're going to see these guys sooner, right? Tia Tavea. We'll see these guys sooner than we will most of the recruiting classes. When are we going to start putting more – when is the value of a portal recruiting ranking going to be as important to fans as it are the regular recruiting? Because personally, look, those portal guys are going to play sooner, and yeah, there's more direct, immediate impact.
For that, I think it's a great topic of conversation. I'm not sure you can really – do it now for a recruiting class. I almost think it has to be a look back on, okay, the portal high school class that came in and the portal guys that were signed that year. Like, how many starts? How many guys drafted? I mean, how's the way you can put it all together, and when do you put it all together is the question. Because the portal guys, Isaiah Bond's going to start 12, 13, 14 games for Texas next year, right? As talented as Ryan Wingo is, he might start zero, he might start one, he might start two. So maybe it becomes more of a look back in a way. Okay, combining that portal class with the high school class in 4 years, how many games have those guys started? I don't know if you can really do it in the now, though. You have any thoughts on that, Bobby?
No, I mean, it's a conundrum because, look, some people don't need, but some people only need two guys in the portal.
Right.
Some need 10.
Dabo thinks he needs nine.
Like in recruiting, you basically have a number of 25 that you look at, right? There's 25 guys in recruiting. But sometimes Texas may only take 3 or 4 guys in the portal. Sometimes they may take 7 or 8.
Right.
The same can be said for the team down the street, right? So I think that's part of it. There's not a consistent method or methodology because of the and look, also, there's a big difference between – it's like basketball recruiting classes, right? Some years Duke only takes one guy. Sometimes they take 5, so they're ranked number one in some years and not others or whatever. And so I think portal recruiting looks more like basketball recruiting to me, which basketball recruiting classes don't really mean that much. More, it's just more about individual players.
All right, guys. Jerry, we've had a ton, and I mean a ton of questions today about Michael Terry. Can you explain the latest there before we get out of here?
Terry's scheduled. We'll check in with him this week. Scheduled to be at the Texas spring game April 20th. So we'll see on that. Texas continues to recruit Michael Terry. I think, look, he wants to be a wide receiver. Where does that fit with Texas? He's not typically a type of wide receiver that Texas recruits. So is there some people close to Michael Terry that think he's an outside linebacker long term? Now, that's easier said than done because linebacker to me is such an instinctive position. You're talking about a guy that's 6'2 and a half, 218, 220 pounds right now. I mean, so Nick Townsend's 226 right now. He was 226 on his visit to Alabama this weekend. So he's not that far off. A guy that's already 220 before his senior year in high school, where's that guy really going to be? Amari Nyblack wanted to be a wide receiver at 1.2. Now he's a tight end and a mismatched tight end because he's got wide receiver movement skills. So Michael Terry, he wants to be a wide receiver. I'll be surprised if that's what he plays long-term, but I do think that factors into his recruitment.
Okay, then our final question for today, guys, comes from Jesse Ullman, and he says, gentlemen, do you have any update on DJ Campbell's injury, his shoulder? And I know we talked about Dre Bledsoe a little bit ago, but is Bledsoe or Sadir going to see the field at Texas?
Well, Bledsoe is definitely going to. Sadir is a TBD, to be determined, in my opinion. And then as far as DJ Campbell, we do not know the severity at this time. We should have recapped a little bit for people that joined us afterwards. Blake, he went out on Saturday with an ice pack on one of his shoulders during the actual scrimmage itself. And we got told that by a couple of different players that were there, high school players, recruits. Largely my understanding is right now it's not surgery or anything like that, but I don't have the final conclusive knowledge of that. They get started here. Actually, they just started their 7th or the 10th practice of the spring camp at 9:00 this morning. So about 20 minutes ago, they got on the field. I do not have a report yet and wouldn't on Campbell's availability for this practice, but it's definitely something we'll be monitoring and is a good question to bring up because clearly I think right now he's the only starter I know of that has a injury that could be of significance. Which is not a bad thing, you know, 3 weeks or 4 weeks now into spring practice. That's a pretty healthy team
overall. Yes,
and that answers Ellis's question as well. So,
Zane Petty had one. Could Texas land DeCorey Moore, Kalik Lockett, and French in the same class? I'm always going to say no on things like that because those are 3 national recruitments. And, you know, there's this tough decisions that have to be made at some point during these recruitments. But, we'll see what happens. The key there is DeCorey Moore hasn't released his official visits yet. I expect him to start doing that shortly. And if those guys aren't officially visiting on the same weekend, I'll be surprised. But can Texas land all 3 of those guys in one class? That would be surprising to me. My thing with that is it's a numbers game. You want to ideally land 2 of those guys and 2 of the 3. If you do that, you're extremely pleased as a coaching staff.
All right, y'all. Well, media availability later on, here in about an hour and a half. What's the plan there? I know we'll have coverage over on ontextfootball.com. And speaking of that, Bobby, also tell folks out there about being an OnText Football OG.
Yeah, we're excited. We launched something yesterday called the OTF OG. That is our premium site on Texas football. It is a special. All you have to do is use coupon code OTFOG. Type that in. Make sure you push apply the code. And right now it's $20 off an annual subscription. So what's normally $60 is just $40. Or you can go the $5.95 a month route. We want this to be accessible to everybody. So please join us. It's our new premium writing service. Jerry's already had a couple of updates this morning. CJ's got some stuff coming out today. And then also you can follow along. We'll be there each and every day talking with people as the day winds around. And if you just want to talk a little Longhorn football, we're there for you. But try out the coupon code OTFOG and be an OG with us. And Blake Monroe and Jerry Hamilton and CJ, Rod, et cetera, Coach Shipley, et cetera.
Somebody asked about Devin Sanchez. Look, if Devin ever reaches out to Texas, Texas would gladly take the call. I think he's happy with his commitment to Ohio State right now. But there's one thing to know about Steve Sarkisian and this for staff and recruiting. They recruit through the whistle.
Never say never.
Yeah. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football presented by Texas Electricity Ratings. We want to thank them for sponsoring today's show along with Gooder. Be sure to check both of those companies out. And then, as always, if you ever need the promo code or anything, it's always in the description of the video or the podcast.
And like, you know what the people want. You can't get out of here without it. You know what the people want. Make the noise.
Oh, guys, here we go.
Even if there's no read on certain weeks, we have to give the people what they want. We're here.
We don't need to jump the shark here, guys. We don't need to jump the shark.
Oh, man. The worst thing I ever did was find out that I can have a drop board with our platform here. So now I can load it up with all kinds of good stuff. But that's going to do it for today's show. Be sure to head on over to ontexasfootball.com for more coverage. As Bobby said, use that promo code OTFOG and become an On Texas Football OG. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for the super chats. And for Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Hook 'em.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.